Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, and Confessions of a Reluctant Long Island Psychic. I'm away on a mission, and that mission is have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How's my girl tonight?
Hello, darling. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. We've had better weeks. We've had worse weeks. So,
oh, yes.
You know, thank God TJ, who did have to get emergency surgery we took him into the hospital last Thursday. That's why there was no show. And we don't like to ever tell anyone anything bad until we know the outcome is good, because we don't want anybody to worry.
Exactly.
Okay. So now that, you know, he's through the worst of it, it really was quite horrific, and, you know, thank God he's on the mend, so we'll just knock on wood on that one. So
Absolutely. That's
the good news. So I know everyone always gets a little nervous. I get like 100 emails saying, I'm sure it's not good if you cancel the show. Like, everyone knows with you and me, the show must go on. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yep.
You know, so...
Last minute like that, for sure.
Especially last minute, yeah. But
yeah, you know,
anyway,
I mean, because last minute, you know, we never cancel last minute. I mean, you know, usually we give you guys some days notice, you know, when there's not going to be a show. But yeah, it was definitely
at 6 o'clock is when
not
I
a
heard
good scenario.
That he's, you know, he's admitted to the hospital. You know, so I was like,
yeah,
God.
And then you texted me by like 6:15. And then I was like, oh, shit, you know, and then, you know, obviously I kept in touch with you to make sure that he was okay.
And I appreciated that very, very,
very
much. Because it was like...
My poor guy, my poor sailor.
I know, and it was funny because Andrew's listening, and Andrew had gone sailing with TJ, and TJ could barely function. He couldn't even go out to eat, he said, and that was several days before. That was on Monday. So,
yeah.
And then he just went up to bed, and, of course, I kept trying to get him to take care of it. But there's a little strange thing in healthcare in America is you can't find a doctor when you're sick, okay? Like, they're all busy doing well checks, and they don't have any openings for when you call and say you're sick. And there's always, like, doctors are on vacation, and the doctor on call didn't seem to, like, take it all that seriously. And I had told Andrew that I knew it was TJ's gallbladder. And the doctor was saying,
yep,
symptoms match, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, the whole thing was that, you know, when he couldn't see his own doctor, he figured he'd just wait a little bit. But it's not always good. There's times when you have to really, you know, move on things. But again, you know, I never had to go to a doctor sick in probably 30 years, okay? And I often wonder if you ever need one. They don't seem to ever be available. You know, when you're at, and going to the walk-in clinics is, I don't know, it's, you know, sometimes it's not, they're not great. They don't know you. They don't know your history. Do you know what I mean? So
Yeah. People
tend to not want to just go in a clinic, and you don't want to go to an emergency room now, because if they don't deem it an emergency, you have to pay. So people hesitate to go to an emergency room. You know what I mean? So
I know. I don't blame them.
It's kind of a vicious cycle with healthcare, but I really, you know, think that, you know, doctors have to, like, have 2 or 3 appointments left open every day for people who actually are sick, you know.
Yeah.
And so you could get squeezed in, you know, that day, or they can see you. And so, you know, just it's my own, you know, pet peeve going on here. You know, and I often do wonder if you're actually sick, you're ever going to be able to see a doctor. You know, like, it's crazy.
It doesn't pay to get sick anymore.
No, I don't think so. I eat like a stroke victim, a heart attack victim, and a diabetic because I think I don't want to be one, and I think it'll help me avoid going to the doctor if possible at this point. But that was our little, you know, drama and trauma for last week. Now, we do have a couple of listeners. If anyone wants to talk to us, they need to, like, press 1 so
number
we know
one.
You actually want to talk to us. And, you know, if anybody has anything to say, I'll tell a little interesting story about my play, The Menu, which is a short play that came to me in a dream. It was kind of an odd dream. My friend Michael that I knew in grammar school and high school, and, you know, he died. And in the dream, he's dead. He's in a black suit, and he hands me a menu. And I said, oh, this is nice. It has my name on it. How nice is this, Michael? And I open it, and it says, choose your method of death, long drawn out or immediate. And I just went, oh, I don't think I'm ready for this, and I handed it back to him. And when I woke up, I decided this would make a good play. So
nice.
The play is going to be done in New York City on November 3rd to November 5th. I'm not doing anything with it. We have a director and the producer and the actors, and I'll get to just see it. But the interesting story about this is I am working on a play called My Struggle about a 100-year-old Holocaust survivor who goes from 1881 in Vienna up until 1881 in New York City. And he becomes pretty active in the civil rights movement and meets Martin Luther King. So I needed to do some research
cool.
about Martin Luther King. And I saw it. There was a play called The Mountaintop on LA Theater Works, which was on Audible. So I got it, listened to it about 4 times, and really was amazed by the play and thought, oh, I'll never see this one staged. And about 2 weeks later, Eastline Theater calls me and says, can you review our play, The Mountaintop? So I was like, ha, that's pretty amazing that I'm going to get to see this play. And then the person who's chosen to direct my play that I had nothing to do with choosing her is a woman who helped bring the play The Mountaintop to fruition. So what do you think the chance of that would be?
That's cool.
That's cool, right? So I'm very excited
that's
to see
so
what
cool.
she does with it. And I just thought maybe Martin Luther King
and the
got something
which,
to do with it.
Which one was the mountain? Which one was the mountaintop? Was that
the
one? Because there were like several. Was that like the one where it was like supposed to be like the day before he got killed or something like that?
Exactly.
Like his final
that's
hours?
The one.
Yep.
That's
okay.
The one.
I've heard of this. Yep.
Okay. And it's, you know, a very interesting play. And I just thought that it must have something to do with Martin Luther King making this happen over there. You know what I mean? It's just too coincidental or whatever. So I'm very excited
for sure.
to see what she does with the play. So that's a little bit of the good news. And then, you know, TJ's in the hospital, and there's a company called the Clinical Trials, you know, Pharmaceutical Theater, whatever. I don't know why it's the name of it. And they had contacted me the night that he's in the hospital saying, oh, well, your play it was 450 entries. You're in the top 100. We'll let you know what happens with it. But I thought it was really odd that Pharmaceutical Clinical Trials Theater Company, because I'm in the hospital saying, what's this clinical trials? What's this coming up in my email? So there's always these little synchronicities that happen in life that we have to pay attention to. And, you know, so that's what's happening now. So, oh, people are pressing okie dokie. So I see your friend Kathy is here. I guess she doesn't want to talk to us today.
Kathy's had a rough few weeks, so I'm not sure if she's ready to talk or if she just might be just tuning in just for the sake of tuning
Andrew
in.
But Andrew pressed.
Let's hear from Andrew. And actually, I'm going to leave your conversation with Andrew briefly just so that I can throw Kathy into the chat room quick to see what her deal is, because I know she had a rough few weeks here. So let's put on Andrew, and then I'm going to jump into the chat room, and then I will speak to you in a few, Cindy.
Okie doke.
Hello, Andrew. You're on the air.
What's up? I know you're checking out to go check on Kathy, but saying hi.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Andrew.
So Andrew's one of the people that helped me get a download what was wrong with TJ. Remember I said all of a sudden I got the download with you. You know,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I told you, like, you didn't seem right, and then, like, me and you talked about it, and, like, man, you were dead on, and so you called it.
You know, and, it's that's another thing. Sometimes people have to understand with illness, symptoms may not be what's typical. You know, there are some people whose gallbladder is going to die with, like, you know, with a whimper and not a bang. You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if you yourself and anyone who's ever sick, if you know you feel like you've got something and someone's telling you don't, I think you have to trust your gut on things because people kind of an instinct better than, you know, medical professionals at times. So just trust your gut a little bit with your health, everybody, and, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, what's happening in your world? Is the dream catcher year happening now?
I'm going. Like, I'm still waiting on the big project I quoted on. Like, they told me it's in review. So I'm just, like, fingers crossed, toes crossed that one day, like, I get that email that says, oh, hey, you know? So we'll see.
Well, you're dealing with corporate America, so they move a little slow. It's like a government project.
I know.
Corporate America and government projects move slow.
Yeah.
You know,
everybody
has that team now. Do you notice everything's a team? In hospitals, it's teams. Corporate America, it's teams.
Yep.
And I think teams move a lot slower than when one person makes decisions.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just trying to be patient. Like, for a bit, I was like, man, maybe I lost it. I called in, I checked up, and they're like, oh, no, it's under review. So I was like, all right. You know, so I'm actually, it's good because, you know what, for the next month or 6 weeks, I'm going to try and explore as much as I got going on. So I'm going out to San Diego, and then I'm going to go to Seattle, and then come home, and then do some fall foliage hunting up in the mountains and Adirondacks and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yesterday I went upstate to play at a golf outing to support the hospice group that took care of my grandfather 20 years ago. And, you know, obviously I was the furthest person I went. You know, it's pretty much 4 hours away. And they're like, you know, and you know what? Like, it was so, the most warming part was, like, the one lady. She's like, I asked my friend who lives where your grandfather, she remembers your grandfather. And she's like, she lived on such and such road. And, you know, like, he was like, the champion violet grower and stuff. So it was like, you know, it was amazing that, like, I saw him passed 20 years ago. And they remembered him from beyond 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, when he was probably doing it big time, you know? So it was nice, you know? And I got choked up talking about, like, what, you know, so what made you come? And I was like, you know, I just want to support. I think people, it goes unnoticed how awesome you guys did. And, you know, like, I was going to bawl, you know? But, like, you know, I'm good talking about now. But I was like, you know, again, just something that's close to my heart. You know, I've always wanted to do something for them and do something going forward. So, but it was good. It was good, you know, made me feel good that they recognize, like, they, like, people I didn't know, they're like, you come up at Thanksgiving, you could stay at our place, you come up at a gala, you could stay with us, you know, so it was a really nice thing, you know, it made me feel good for what I did, you know, especially going up.
And did you feel your grandpa's presence when you were there? Because you must have.
100%, yeah, so it was nice.
And he also made sure you ran into people who would remember him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
And of course he just loved that. And, you know, they took such good care of him. So, of course, he would want, you know, to do the fundraiser. So you kind of did what Grandpa would want you to do. I hope you know that.
Yeah. You know, it's been on my mind forever. And, I just want to be attached to, like, their organization because it means a lot to me, you know, to my family, you know, especially at those times, you know.
Sure.
So.
And so in the dream catcher year, we want some
We want some money and we want some love. So we're trying to do that, freedom. You know, I have looked around at some of, like, the meetup groups and, like, trying to find, like, a hiking group. I haven't been able to find something that, like, you know, just keep looking.
Yeah,
but,
and that's good because you will find the meetup group that you'll just go, okay. But he wants to go to meetup groups just to meet new friends, and do those friends meet a soulmate? So it's kind of, you know, good to get out there a little bit. And, again, you don't want to sign up for something you're not interested in because that won't be fun.
Yeah, I haven't found anything yet. I mean, I keep my eyes open. It's just because of something you said, like, Andrew, you got to just, like, do it. I'm like, all right. So I'm doing that, you know, just working hard, you know, and I still think that, like, this thing will come through and some of the other stuff I'm working on, you know, so I'm like, it's right there. It's right there. And so, yeah, just trying to make it happen.
Good. And, you know, these are things, remember, this is the year you want to try to make everything manifest.
Yep.
You have really good cards here. That, you know, it looks really promising on the big gig you're waiting on. So let's just, you know,
keep
hanging in there with that, you know.
Yep.
And now, you know, your grandfather just gave you a big hug. I mean, and he's claiming that he ghosted your mind and put the thought in your head to go there in the first place. So that's pretty interesting. You know?
I've always wanted to do it, and you know, like, it's hard because I don't really leave my office. It's very hard for me to leave my office. And Leah's like, I can't believe you're going, because, like, I'm literally, like, Saturday, I forget, I did a bike ride for a charity, you know, I'm in the office Monday, Tuesday, you know, I drove up Tuesday night, got up state, like, midnight, got up at 5, did some work, drove another hour, play golf, do all that, come home at midnight, you know, work all day today, tomorrow I got to hop on a plane midday, fly to San Diego. You know, I'm going to do a little adventure with my dad, so my grandpa enjoy that. And then, you know, I got a conference and stuff. And, you know, again, it's just like, I go. Tell people my schedule, like, that's crazy. It's like, no wonder you're single. Like, I'm not trying to be single, but I'm trying to do me. And in the route of doing me, I'll find the person that could, you know, do it with me, you know, so.
Right, exactly. Like, and it's just getting out there. You know, if, you know, you see something that interests you, go there, have fun. And it's always good, like you said, hike, something healthy, because you're going to meet people that are a little more, you know, like-minded to you. So, like, I like the idea that you keep, you know, keep looking. And if you find one that works and is good for you, let us know, because, you know, people like to hear, oh, there are good meetups out there, and they really are. Some of my clients have met people through meetups, so it's a good thing to do. Well, Andrew, thank you for sharing your story.
No
I'm going to try to get another listener or two. Thank you for everything and for just being there and asking how TJ was. It all made him feel better.
I was glad I got him home, because I was like, I don't know how he lasted as long as he did, because I'm like, yeah, so yeah.
Oh,
I'm
no.
glad I was there to.
Oh, so. For sure. And he's, you know, he's very, very thrilled to be home. You know, there's nothing like being home. You know, in the hospital, I don't know if, you know, I've never personally been in one, like, to stay, but, you know, they beep and noise and take your temperature all hours of the night. You get no sleep, and there's people watching TV, and there's noise everywhere. Oh, man, it's a zoo.
Yeah. Never going back.
Oh, but
we're not going back.
I will tell you, South Shore University Hospital, though, they actually have a menu, okay, and they have a chef. And they have the most incredible menu of food. It's amazing. I'm like, huh, pretty interesting. You get a menu with all these nice choices of food and desserts and salads. And, you know, they have vegan food and just anything for everybody. So I thought that's something good that hospitals have finally come up with better food.
Northwell's doing it right. Doing it right.
I'm telling you. I remember when my grandfather was in the hospital and he had a heart attack. He was like 80. And he complained how the food was terrible, and the only thing good was the, you know, the SpaghettiOs and the soup. You know what I mean? He complained how horrible the food was. So I think they, you know, I'm going to give a big, you know, shout out to Northwell Health for really having a beautiful menu, and the food was really, you know, whatever TJ ate was really quite good. So,
it's
a change. It's a changing world, right? You know,
at least it's evolving. Good for that. So, well, I'm glad he's on the feeling better. I know I've been texting him just to check up on him, make sure he's doing good.
He really appreciates, because TJ is really a people person, and this has been pretty hard for him. You know, to be so isolated. So, like, we did go sit by the beach a little bit yesterday, which I think gave him a real lift. You know, just remember, we call it beach therapy, joy therapy. Like, sometimes that's what people need. And so remember, our mantra this year is joy therapy. So everybody try to do a little bit of your joy therapy. If it combines nature, that's even better. And it should not imply spending big money, okay?
Yeah.
You know, and which, you know, oftentimes, you know, people are always,
you know, spending big money and thinking that's what they have to do to have a good time.
Yep, drunken sailor syndrome. So, yeah,
right? You know what I mean? And you don't have to spend huge money, you know, to have a good time. So, you know, those are important.
Definitely. Well, I'll let you get the next person. I just wanted to check in since you guys were shooting the breeze and looking for some company. So.
Okay. Bye, Andrew.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so let's see if we can get them. Okay, thank you.
Yep,
okay,
I
so Kathy's a big one here, huh? Kathy's a big one here.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Kathy didn't press number one because she wasn't sure, you know, what to do, really. She's a little bit foggy. And I of course, because, you know, I know Kathy outside of here, you know, I knew what was going on. So that's why I wanted to check in with her first in the chat room to see if she was ready to talk. So she may not talk for long, Cindy, because she's very upset. But Kathy has recently had a death, you know, in her family, and she was the caretaker for that person, you know, for, you know, the last few weeks. And she's really, really feeling her loss. So, and this is very, very recent. So, you know, she called in tonight hoping to hear just something good and positive. And then I spoke to her and, you know, she said that she'll come on tonight and she'll talk to you to see, you know, to see if you have anything good, you know, to tell her. All right. So here we go out to Kathy. Hello, Kathy.
Hi. Well, first of all, I'm so sorry to hear of your loss. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
You know, it's one of the hardest deaths is the loss of a sibling. I don't think people talk about it enough. They talk about the loss of a parent or a child or a lover, a husband, a wife, but there's very little conversation about what it is to lose a sibling. And I don't think I ever realized how hard it was until I lost my brother. You know, not that I didn't have compassion for people, but I didn't quite understand how hard it is because, you know, it's part of your childhood. She seems to be pretty peaceful. For someone recently gone, there's a peace coming from her, okay, which, you know, there's a veil between the two worlds, and she is punching at it a little bit, meaning that she would want to be here if she could be, okay, but, you know, she's more concerned, the punching the veil, she's a very nice person, your sister, by the way. The punching of the veil is more the pain that she's caused other people with her death than it is about her. She's okay. So if you wonder if she's okay, you know, have you gotten together with your family now?
Yeah, I call them like every day.
Okay, good. Because she just says, stay close. Was this pretty sudden, by the way?
She was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia, given 4 to 10 days to live, and she died on day 18.
It was, you know, I got the tower card, which is usually one that happens fast, you know, and furious, but she didn't deserve to suffer. And remember, I was talking about, I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, I was talking about my play, The Menu, which is choosing a long, drawn-out death or a pretty fast one. Your sister said this was the better way to go. Like she's okay about her ending, okay? And she's happy. She seems to be light in spirit. You'll probably have a dream with her in it, which will be an astral travel. She'd like you to come visit with her.
I have been dreaming of her.
I thought so, because she's tells me, hey, I know how to fly, which is making me laugh because certain people recently did not know how to. Did she like travel? Because she likes travel in this one, okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, so she, it's funny because one of my clients has not dreamed about her sister in years. And I said, well, your sister said she didn't like flying, and she just laughed. She said, no, my sister hated flying. Your sister's the opposite. She likes the traveling. It's not only her traveling, she goes to a sort of mutual plane, but you're good at traveling to her. So she's just trying to comfort you. Pretty much she's letting you know she's okay. I think all of you have a lot more anxiety than even she experienced. She's saying the serenity prayer. She's accepting what she can't change. You know, I think she probably met her death pretty gallantly from what I could tell, you know.
again, more concerned with everyone else than herself. And
always,
you know,
in her final days, she wanted to make sure we were all comfortable.
That's what I'm telling you. She's not, she's saying, I'm good. She's in a good realm, by the way. I should go as high as she goes. Okay. Like, she's in a good realm. You know, she's got a lot of visitors, including some of your grandparents and some family members. And again, she's more concerned that all of you are okay. She said, I'll see you again. And she was going to be, like, she held on even days longer than she should have, only because she was a good person who didn't want to cause the pain that her death would cause. So she tried to hold on to give people time to adjust to it. But there was a point when, did you know your mother's mother at all?
Yes.
Because, did you like her? Because she's blowing you a kiss, your mother's mother. And
it's actually her mother's mother.
Right, right. Okay, her mother's mother. Okay, and she said, you know, everybody was greeting her and meeting her and trying to make her feel that it was, you know, that she would be happy and comfortable up there, and she is. Okay, but they were calling her because she was past her due date to go. She was, it was going to get more and more painful for her physically, and they don't, you know, for all of us who wonder what happens when we die, it doesn't have to always be so painful. Sometimes, you know, God will start making it more painful so we'll finally let go. An old soul doesn't want to cause the pain their death will cause, and so they'll just stay with pretty enormous pain. So God will sometimes just up it so bad that the person can't hold on anymore. As soon as they surrender, the pain stops, and they cross over very smoothly. So she said she went to, like, the 11th hour until she just couldn't hold on another minute. So, she, you know, she said, I love you very much, okay? And
she told me.
You know, she loves you very, very, very much. And so if you need anything, you know, she's learning how to watch over people, how to help them. She says, I don't know how to do it all yet, so I really can't do much, but I will learn. And she will be one of the people you can ask for help. And And, you know, you have to do the mourning. We can't bypass mourning. It's painful, but, you know, what I've learned in doing this for a living is that there's two responses to death. One is relief. If people have been such son of a bitches and caused us so much pain, they die, we feel relief. Good people who only want to help us make our life and make our life better, when they die, we feel grief. So your choice is relief or grief. And I think it's a great honor that your sister's death has caused so much grief, okay? Because grief is really love and wanting to put that love somewhere. So, again, when you're happy, she's happy. She's clapping her hands when I, you know, about when I said joy therapy before, she clapped her hands. Do some joy therapy. Go sit by the beach. Go, you know, have a nice meal. Watch a funny movie, a movie your sister would like. She'll travel down and watch it with you, listen to some music. She would prefer you trying to do little bits of joy therapy throughout the day, and she'll join you during this fun time. When you're in pain, she's in pain. So when you're joyful, she's joyful. So don't feel guilty if you have, like, I don't know, an hour where you just feel, okay, this was a good hour. Okay, because that is what she wants from you. I know it's funny because we sometimes think, sometimes people feel guilty that they actually have a joyful moment. No, no. It would be your sister helping you have some of those joyful moments. She does like music, so you're probably going to get some signs through music from her. And some of the songs are pretty old, so pay attention to it. And she wants you to get some sleep, get some rest, by the way.
I hadn't slept for like 3 days, and she noticed. She's like, you have not gone to sleep.
Nope, and much stakes she cares. She's like very mother, you know, she's like very mothering and nurturing. She cares that you get your sleep, okay, and that you rest. And, you know, she's going to probably try to help you get a good night's sleep. And that means that she's probably going to learn how she could press the part of your brain that makes you fall asleep. She said, I got to study up here. So I think she's going to pick and choose what she wants to study and, you know, help whatever she can. But,
You were one of her favorites. I know there's a lot of siblings here, but you were one of her favorites. Did you know that?
Yeah, she told me.
Okay. She said, don't go tell all the other siblings, please. Because probably if I was to talk to any of them, she'd probably say the same thing, but she does mean it for you. Okay.
I think they noticed.
She wouldn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. She's like a nice person. You know,
yeah,
they're very nice. And she's glad that you called in a little bit because it was actually her putting, of course, we call ghosting, a thought into your head to call into Cindy's show. And it was also ghosting Nicole's mind to actually ask you if you would go on. So your sister's pretty good at ghosting minds already, okay? Means she could put thoughts in your head. She's a pretty fluent communicator. She's also just said, you know, she made a very smooth transition. Like she was here and then all of a sudden she's on the other side and, you know, there's all these dead relatives greeting her and she keeps asking them, what are they doing here? And they said, no, the question is, what are you doing here? And she said, that's it. I'm dead. And they said, yep. And she goes, oh, that was easy. So just know it was smooth for her. You know, it was smooth. Okay. I don't know what people are expecting, bumpy landings. I don't know, but I think she was amazed at how smooth the actual transition was.
Yeah.
So, you know, and again, part of what I'm trying to educate people here is, you know, fight things. At the hour of the death, you got to surrender and go. Because, you'll get a message when there's no more fight, when this is it. And then just surrendering to it makes the whole transition smoother, you know. So, and she wasn't afraid to meet her maker. She has a really good life review. So she wasn't concerned about that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I asked her if she was afraid, and she said she wasn't.
No, she wasn't afraid because she did the best she could and that she knew she had learned a lot of the things she was supposed to learn here. And, you know, the people who are more afraid to die are people that haven't learned any of their karmic lessons, people that have made other people's life hell. They're really scared. You know, people who have lived their life as best they could usually are not that afraid to go to the other side. They're afraid to cause the pain their death is going to cause to the living. But in terms of them going over to God, they're not scared at all.
Okay.
You know, so... thank you for calling in, and
she said,
I love you, and she told Nicole she loves Nicole, too. Okay, she said she loves me, too, but she doesn't know me, but it's okay. She loves me, too, okay? But I guess she doesn't want me to feel
a lot of love going around.
Fest.
A lot of love going around.
She didn't want me to feel left out of the love fest, you know what I mean? So I guess she did want you all to laugh a little bit, okay, because that's her, you know what I mean? She would want everyone to laugh. So thank you for sharing this today because I think it's important when someone's just fresh with the pain of losing someone to maybe share it so other people can understand the best thing to do is to talk a little bit about it, to talk about it, to look for the signs. And she's going to send a lot of signs, so pay attention.
Okay.
You know.
Thank you.
Thank you. And get some sleep early night, please.
Okay.
Bye. Well, Nicole, you were very smart to have put her on because, you know, I think her sister needed it as much as Kathy needed it, okay? Like,
it's
really fun for them to know that they can be heard. Someone can hear them. It's very comforting for the dead, actually.
I'm sure.
Do you know what I mean? And they get a kick out of being able to, you know, be on the other side and talk to someone on Earth and go, wow, this is cool. You know what I mean? I like this, you know? So.
Yep.
It's interesting, and she was a very good communicator, by the way. Very
awesome.
Good. Now we have Jimmy, and let's see what Jimmy has to say.
Yes, ma'am. Hello, Jimmy. You're on the air.
Hello. How are you?
Hi,
guys?
Jimmy. So what's happening in Jimmy's world?
Not a whole lot.
That's good. Uneventful can be good.
Yeah, well,
not too much drama.
Right. I mean, there's been like a couple of people like passing away, like not directly associated with me. So there was that. But it seemed a little weird because So 2 days ago, someone that's a coworker that I'm not in, he's not a direct coworker, and he's in New Jersey. So he's a coworker, but, like, he's an associate, I guess. I guess you would say that. And then there's someone else that is, like, literally on – she didn't pass away yet, but, like, she's, like, I don't know what's going on, and I'm concerned because it's someone that's a little bit closer to my area at work. So I don't, you know, it just seems to be around work. I don't see it happening anywhere else that's going on. So I don't know, but I know death usually comes in threes. So I'm a little bit, you know, after the first person passed away, I'm a little bit wary.
Okay, well, you got to just understand that we're surrounded by a lot of people, and a lot of people pass, and
right.
It doesn't really have anything to do with, you know, coming in threes. Those are all, like, superstitions that make us crazy.
Okay. Okay.
I don't want you to, like, be worried, okay?
Okay?
I mean, it's a weird, something's weird in the air. I have a lot of clients, and a lot of them have come this week, and they've all had surgery this week. Like, I'm like, what's this? What's going on here? Everybody's coming in here. I feel like I have a hospital board in here. I got TJ and I got everybody coming here.
It's a little weird.
I've had an operation. And I'm like, and you didn't cancel your appointment? No, I really wanted to see you. So I think there's been a lot of everything in the air. So, we're surrounded. The more people you know, also if you work, there's always going to be people that are not direct links to you. Like when I do a reading, I could see, like, when your grandma passed, she's a direct link to you. You know, your grandparents are a direct link. Friends are direct links. But oftentimes I see link, which is someone not directly associated with but might have been a coworker that you barely knew, but they want to thank you for thinking about them. Or it could be a friend of yours, brother. You know, those are links. These are, like, link people to you, okay? And you know, the older you get, the more it's going to be. And what is the message in Jimmy having these people near him, knowing that they've just died? Death is supposed to be a wake-up call for us. And it's supposed to be every time someone dies, we're supposed to think, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I living my best life? If I were to die tomorrow, did I do what I wanted to do? So look at these things as just being your spirit guide's way of saying, are you doing what you need to do? Is Jimmy living Jimmy's best life? And so, you know, that's
I'm trying. I'm trying with the I mean.
Right. So just keep, you know, in mind that, you know, the longer you live, and again, death doesn't necessarily go in threes, and it doesn't, you know, it just, so we're just not going to worry about anything in Jimmy's world. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Jimmy's world is good.
Okay.
And thanks for calling
Sounds good to me.
Okay. And I'm going to see, I'm sorry, Jimmy, that I had to cancel your appointment, because remember, that was the time I had to visit TJ in that small time. And then you're going to love this. He was supposed to he had two surgeries, and the other one was supposed to be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I wanted to get there early to see him. And you know, I got there and they put him in at 11 o'clock. So I sat in the hospital doing nothing for 4 hours. I could have read you. And they wouldn't let me go in his room. And I've never, you know, I haven't spent a lot of time in hospitals, especially since I've been so psychic, but they wouldn't let me in his room, which has been just his energy. So I had to stay, like, in the main part of the hospital. And about 2 hours into it, I literally had a meltdown. I started to cry uncontrollably, and I felt all the angst of all the death that's in that hospital, all the pain. And it was funny because one of my clients' mother came through to say to me, Cindy, you're an empath. You can't sit in the general part of the hospital. Go into your husband's hospital room and you'll be fine. I said to him telepathically, I can't. You know, the rules, they told me not to go there. She said, I'm sneaking you in. Just go in there. So I snuck into the room and nobody noticed me. I pulled the curtain and I sat there and I was fine then. But isn't it funny? She goes, and she goes, some rules are meant to be broken. And but
well, that,
it was overwhelming.
Really,
but meanwhile, they in a hospital, nobody tells you the right time. They live in hospital
right.
time. No consideration for someone else. Maybe they have children they have to watch, get a babysitter. They have to go to work. And it was that. So I realized that, you know, whenever I was just in the room, his room, I was fine. But I can't just sit in a hospital. I'll tell you that right now, because
right.
the overwhelming amount of sorrow that went into me was, and I said, and I really haven't cried in years. So it was very
yeah.
odd to be, and like, I couldn't pull myself together. So I was like, this is not good here. And had that, and remember, I always tell people when I'm not working, my psychic abilities are basically off unless I have the tarot cards, except for being an empath. I didn't realize
mm-hmm.
how strong that would still be. And had that
yeah.
person's mother not come through to tell me what was going on, I'm not sure I would have known what was going on, you know. So
you,
it was between
you,
worrying
you reminded...
about him, you know, worrying about my husband and then being near all that sorrow. So for empaths,
right.
it can be really murder, these situations. But again,
yeah, I mean, I was when I was working in a hospital for a couple of years, every time I would walk past the morgue, it was just like an eerie feeling.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was a few times that I would walk past that area that I was literally my, and this is like right at the time when I'm like, everything's starting to open up and everything. I literally have my spirit guides like grabbing my hand, walking me out the freaking building, because it's like, you can't be there. You're not allowed to, you can't be near that area. Like, you could be working in the hospital and everything, but if I was near the morgue, I was like, I just like had to get away from that area. It was like,
oh, yeah.
I was so repelled from that area. It was very, very strong. But
right. And again, these are things with empaths, they, you know, just to be aware of it. So, you know, it was
yeah.
one of those experiences that, you know, that's why I was so glad when he got out of the hospital, because it was very draining to be there all the time, you know.
It was, yeah. Yeah,
well,
despite the good work that I was doing, it was very draining.
It's draining.
And it is very interesting that you cancel the appointment and then your appointment, the times and everything changed. But
right. In other words, I should have just stayed with my work schedule and not changed it, because then I'm sitting in a hospital for 3.5 hours. And fluky enough, I brought my computer and I tried to work for like 2.5 hours. And, you know, all the work was lost that I did. So it was that put me off the deep end too,
no.
that I sat here for 2.5 hours doing work that for
oh,
some reason
man.
Didn't save, didn't whatever. So
right.
in general, the energy was just not great. So,
because you canceled the appointment, I was able to stay where I was in Pennsylvania with my soul family.
Okay, good. So
with
you
tons
see,
of members of my soul family. So it actually,
well,
positive,
that makes
negative,
me feel
et cetera, et cetera.
So
yeah,
that makes
yeah,
me
I had
feel
a,
better
I had a really
then.
Good time.
Okay, that makes me feel better then. Okay, so
maybe your guides wanted you to know that your empathic abilities are still very strong.
I think that's probably what I needed to realize, that because I'm not, I'm usually living in such a sheltered world in many ways. You know what I mean? That I'm not bombarded with all that stuff. But yes, that was an experience. Well, anyway, we're going to try to get another listener, because we've got a lot of listeners tonight.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Jimmy, for calling in.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Nicole, are you there, darling?
Yes.
Okie dokie.
Of course I am, always.
Okay. Now you know as an empath why I love being near Nicole and Lisa, by the way, because they have, like, the best energy. When you're with them, they're just...
We say that about you and TJ.
I mean, they're just so good. Whatever is, it's like, oh, okay, this is good. That's fine. That's great. Doesn't matter. They roll with the punches. What happens? We don't have to have, like, a...
It's
a
just so
schedule.
Easy.
It's just like, yeah, they're like, okay, oh, this is good. This is great. Let's do that. So it's not, you know, sometimes when you're with people, you feel like you're babysitting for them. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. You know, Lisa, it's funny that you should say that. It's funny that you should say that because Lisa and I were talking, you know, we've been actually mentioning this a lot lately. You know, we're just kind of like, you know, we're at the stages of our life where, you know, we don't want to babysit our friends. And we don't want to be around people who feel like, you know, we're working, you know, and we don't want to be around people who are just absolute Debbie Downers. You know, we want to be around people who are easy, and we want to be around people who help bring out the best version of us and who elevate us, you know, mentally and spiritually and things like that. You know, people that we've got, you know, that we can collaborate with and just have good discussion and, you know, even if you disagree, you know, you can still just love each other and move on, you know, and without all the, you know, the nonsense that happens, you know, these days, you know, with conflict and things like that. And, you know, like in our very, very small network, you know, and we like to keep it small. You and TJ are like, you know, two of our coveted spots, you know, because we absolutely adore and love you. And, you know, we love hanging out with you. It's always a good time. We, you know, we love listening to TJ and all of his stories and, you know, his experiences and everything else. Like, it's, you know, it's amazing spending time with you. And, you know, we genuinely enjoy both of you.
And that's how we feel. So that's also a form of joy therapy, gathering with your soul group, people that are part of your soul family that, you know, make you happy.
Absolutely.
That, you know, and it also shows me there's huge age differences between you and I and, you know, and TJ and you, and yet we don't feel any of that when we're together. It's like,
no, not at
right?
all.
It's just, you know, like minds, having fun, enjoying.
Exactly.
And,
you know, it's nuts. And even last Friday, you know, we hung out with other friends, you know, and we get together with this crew, you know, maybe like 2-3 times a year. And normally last weekend would have been our Montauk trip, but, you know, given the strike with the union and this and that, we decided that we were just going to just do like a little, you know, hang out during the day, and we weren't going to go out to Montauk. And, you know, like everybody is very, very divisive when it comes to like politics and things like that, you know, these days. And it's funny because one of our friends, you know, that we saw even last week, she and I cannot be more opposite when it comes to politics. Like if I say it's black, she says it's white. It's just, it's not even funny. But at the same time, you know, we absolutely adore each other. We love each other. We debate each other, you know, and it's no harm, no foul. We don't feel the need to terminate a friendship because we disagree. And that happens a lot. And we don't feel the need to attack each other because we disagree. You know, she listens to me and I teach her a few things. I listen to her and she teaches me a few things. And at the end of the day, we agree to disagree on certain things. And that's okay. You know, and unfortunately, there's not enough of that in the world today, you know, because it's just, it's crazy out there. Like, everybody thinks that, you know, if they have an opinion, if you're not for it, you're against them somehow, and that's not true.
Right, and again, that's the whole point, that, you know, people can, you know, have to have discussions, and it's interesting to deal with people who have different opinions than you have, because, like
yeah.
you said, you learn something, you hear something, it's interesting,
mm-hmm.
it makes the world go round, and again, you know, we have to just try to, like, get along with people and not, you know, cut out all people because they don't think exactly like we do, okay? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's an important thing. So, you know, people, get out of your comfort zone, talk with people who maybe have a different opinion, and
yeah.
do it respectfully, please. You know, be respectful to people of their opinions.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I literally know people, like actually Lisa's stepsister, you know, she all but like wrote her own mother off because they disagreed politically. You know, I mean, it's crazy what people are doing these days. So, you know, everybody just have a little bit more tolerance, have a little bit of empathy, have a little bit of sympathy. And remember, just because you have an opinion doesn't mean everybody else needs to subscribe to that opinion.
Right, and remember, it's our opinions, and what you felt younger, when you're younger, may change as you're older, you know, which you're supposed to. We're supposed to grow and evolve. And,
yep,
and maybe
absolutely.
We have some errors in thinking. The universe will help teach us why that wasn't correct, you know. And so, you know, just be open to having some healthy discussions with people, and certainly don't cut off people because they have an opinion different than you, because
that's
ridiculous. And, you know,
learn something.
Always learn something. So we
yep.
do have Miss Debbie Tony, who has a show this weekend.
We do.
I unfortunately can't attend to it because she picked it on a night where there's two other theaters having opening nights, and I have to review one of them and the other one the next week. I don't know why everybody is off every opening on the same weekend. Makes it hard for critics because we're only one person. You know, can't be an eight at once. But Debbie Tony will tell us about her show at the Baca Center. That's where we had the Beethoven play when we did it. So
yep,
let's hear
I remember. Oh, that's out in Lindenhurst, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
Yep. Awesome. All right. So let's shoot out to Debbie Tony, and let's see what she has to say. Hello, Debbie Tony.
Hey, guys. Thanks for putting me on. Congratulations,
okay.
Cindy, for the menu.
Oh,
I'm
thank
very
you.
Excited
you
for
know
you
that
well.
Play. You know that play well because
yes,
you
did it.
You did it, right?
Yep.
So you're
yes,
familiar
with
it.
Greg.
Right.
And Greg Halverson's wife is helping me with – it's such a small world because Greg Halverson's wife is helping me with the show, and Jenna's in the show.
Jenna
so.
Is, it was in the play Way Out who we did. So
yep.
It's a small world. So tell us about who's in your show, Jenna Halverson.
So Jenna Halverson, Andrew Riccardi, also from Bayway, Matt Fama I met at Bayway and the Addams Family, Rebecca Rears, she's the gal that I met in Jane Seaman's class and did the last cabaret with me in the city, and me and James Lombardi, who you know, who did Beethoven and Way Out.
Wow. So it's a cabaret show. Is that what it is?
It is a cabaret, and I am your host. So, of course, it's going to be funny. And I do some solos and quite a few duets. There's a couple of group numbers. It's very light. It's only an hour, maybe 15 minutes, maybe an hour and a half at tops. I don't know what kind of house we're going to have. All I know, it's going to be a great audience, and you're all welcome. I made tickets very reasonable, 20.
Okay, can you tell
10,
them how much they are?
All right, $20 for adults, $15 for seniors, $10 for students. It's at the Lindenhurst Baca Center, BACCA, means Babylon Arts Council, and it is on 149 North Willard Avenue. You can find the flyer at debbietony.com. Just scroll down right underneath the logo there, and there'll be a nice flyer. You can click on it. You can buy tickets at the door, or you could buy them on Eventbrite. It's going to be such a fun night. And my agent is coming from 1990. She's calling. I'm going to see my agent from the city from the days
wow.
of yore. So
wow.
it's exciting. I'm excited.
It's Friday or Saturday?
It's Saturday, September 16th.
Okay.
See that alliteration? That's why I
All right. So that's
All
a
right,
good
thank
news.
You.
You know, don't
yes.
forget to go see it if you have, you know, a nice night out. And there's a wonderful pizza parlor on the corner of the Baca Center, by the way. And
you like, you mean, oh, you're talking about the Belfast?
So one in the corner, and they have these huge slices of pizza, and it's really delicious. So you can also go get a slice of pizza after the show, okay? Like,
yes, and we're having an after party. You can stay for the after party. If you're my friend, you can stay for the after party. We're having cookies, crackers. A little bit of maybe some pepperoni, and somebody's making cupcakes, Cindy.
Oh, cupcakes. Okay, that sounds like a fun evening is going to be had by all. So, you know, don't forget to go. And, boy, that's exciting. And
oh, and there's the winery that opened like two nights ago next door. So that'll bring in a nice draw, too.
Wow. I know. Lindenhurst is becoming quite the – they call it like – you know, like Broadway Row, because there's like a lot of theaters along there, and then there's restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
So it's becoming
yeah.
quite a nice town too. And I think Debbie and I helped revive some of it with our Beethoven play.
Oh, we did.
You know, jump started the Baca Center after that. So it's a nice theater. It's intimate and very, very fun. So we hope you can all join Debbie Tony there and company. So
thanks
for calling in, and you know, we'll you know, let me know how the show goes, and maybe you'll have someone film it or no. Is anybody going to film
it? Yeah, I'm definitely film it. Definitely.
Okay, good. All right, that would be perfect. All right, well, thanks for calling in.
Love
Bye
you.
For now.
Bye, Nicole.
Bye, darling.
Okay, Nicole. So, in the year of the dream catcher, what do you want for you?
The same thing I've wanted all damn year.
Okay. So what do you want? Same thing damn year. Let's throw it in. You want your art to be...
I would like to be working for myself, and I want to be able just to do art full time. You know, be it, you know, commercial stuff, photography, t-shirts, whatever. I just want to be in business for myself. I don't want to have to go back, you know, to working for anybody else. And or if I do go back working for somebody else, then I would like the option to be able to do that only part time, so that I could focus on, you know, what I'm passionate about.
Right, and that's a really good thing that, you know, follow your dreams, follow your heart, mm-hmm. you know, create your art. Now, what's your opinion on how long the strike's going to go on?
Oh, I don't even know. Honestly, like, this whole strike business is really, really stunting my creativity, and I'm trying to fight against it because, you know, financially, obviously, with both Lisa and I out of work since May, you know, it's really, you know, kind of hitting us hard now. You know, in the beginning it was, you know, in the beginning when the savings were in a certain spot, you know, everything was going to be okay. And like, and now it's just kind of like, all right, we're going to have to start penny pinching a little bit because, you know, we may have to last till the end of the year like this. So I don't know. They seem to think that, you know, it's looking like maybe January could be, you know, it'll be 6 weeks from whenever they decide to give it to call it quits.
Right. So that means that they'll probably be, you know, some shows, you know, the reality shows. That's the last strike made reality shows be what they were, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, because they needed to come up with some new material that
cleared
around
and
the
then
union.
Even some of the talk shows, I know that Lisa was saying yesterday that Drew Barrymore
said
that she was going to go back into production. And you know, and she was like, well, it's a talk show. It's not scripted. You know, and, like, that's her answer, is that it's a talk show. It's not scripted, where I'm not going against the writers by keeping my staff employed, because it's not a scripted show. You know, it's me talking to people, so it should be no harm, no foul. But, you know, that she got a lot of flack for, you know, for going against the union, which I don't necessarily agree with. And unfortunately, you know, this has become, initially it was about writers getting what the writers were due, you know, for the long hours and the constant content and the constant changes to that content and things like that. And now that the directors and the actors have joined, it's almost like certain actors are trying to renegotiate clauses of their contracts that they should have negotiated initially. You know, like now the actors want to fight for more rights to their products on streaming services. You know, they don't feel like they've gotten paid enough money because people keep streaming their work. And listen, I'm all for actors getting paid what actors are due. But if you want a bit of the streaming, then you really need to negotiate that before you film, not in post-production when your project is already 2 and 3 years old and now you're telling Netflix, I think I should get more, you know, because that's kind of what the delay is now. There's, you know, originally it was, I think, a little bit different, and now it's becoming about greed, you know, and it's about, you know, people who have already made millions wanting to make more millions.
Right, exactly.
And people like me and Lisa who don't have millions are sitting here, you know, figuring out what we're going to buy this week for groceries, you know, so that we can keep our budget down, because we don't know when we get to go back to work because they just won't go to work and they can afford it.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, let's just pray that it ends sooner than later, okay?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, listen, it'll be 6 weeks before we can do anything. So hopefully they'll just end it. And then 6 weeks after that, I'll have a nice solid ETA of when I'm going back, you know, and I'm just keeping my fingers crossed. And like I said, I'm fighting the desire to not create anything. You know, some days I'm more successful than others, but I'm still creating. And I've been working with Printify so that I can get my shirts up and running through Etsy and through Amazon. So, I'm moving forward regardless, and hopefully I'm going to keep my fingers crossed and hope for the best, and maybe that'll start a little trickle that'll turn into a little bit more than a trickle.
Right, exactly. And also just think about it that, there, you know, we've got 300 channels that cost us a fortune on cable, and there's nothing to watch as it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 300. TJ's been home like senior child. There were 300 channels. There's nothing to watch. I'm like,
you know,
what
I find myself doing? I find myself going back to all the shows that I used to love years ago when TV was a little bit more original. You know, like
exactly.
I've been watching Bones and you know the old seasons of Grey's Anatomy and things like that. Like, I don't even watch anything new on TV anymore. You know, aside from maybe like one or two shows. It's just, you know, I'm not a fan.
Right. I mean, that's the whole point. So maybe that's going to end up.
They're
going to
cut us off.
Old shows. They're going to lose their audience. Everybody's going to be like, we're going to watch old shows. Well, anyway,
exactly.
They're going to knock us off in like 2 seconds.
They will.
Okay. Good night,
all
everybody.
Right.
We'll speak next week. Bye.
Good night, Cindy.
Bye. Bye.